Hi everyone, this is Claudia Clark, and you're tuned in Remix, where I explore the positive effects of historical events that most people categorize as negative. With me, I have my history teacher father, who does zero research, and simply asks all the questions that you all, the listeners, are wondering.
Hey everyone, glad to be here.
Okay, let's get started. The one-child policy, what do you know about it?
It was a policy, I think, from the late 1970s that prevented families from having more than one child. I think China was trying to solve overpopulation, but from what I've heard, it ended up harming a lot of people and perhaps even worsened the situation.
Yeah, the one-child policy was put into effect in 1979. Previous to this, in the 1970s, China began making and selling more products, leading to an economic and social boom. In many ways, they were becoming too prosperous, and too many babies were being born. The government needed a way to control the country's birth rates. The officials didn't want China to return to the 1930s and 40s economic crisis, where there were extremely high rates of unemployment and poverty. So they decided to make the one-child policy, which they thought would increase people's quality of life and solve a number of economic problems. For some context, my father was
4 years old.
So this very dramatic policy is relatively modern. As you mentioned, each couple was permitted to have one child, and were fined heavily or even not given an ID for their child if they did not comply. As a reward for only having one kid, families were given a monthly financial compensation as well as free schooling and healthcare. But what people like you usually oversee is although there were many, many negative consequences from the one-child policy, in some ways the policy positively impacted women's rights, the Chinese economy, and the environmental well-being of the country.
Wait, so what actually were the negative effects of the one-child policy?
Right, so there were many negative effects. For starters, like most countries, Chinese families preferred having sons than daughters. This notion can date back to the influential philosopher, Confucius, as well as the fact that men continued the family legacy, which is very important in Chinese culture.
So what does their preference for men have anything to do with the one-child policy?
So essentially, families would pray to have a son, and if they didn't, many times they would unfortunately kill, abandon, or hide their daughters. This led to a skewedness in the gender ratio, which led to economic and social problems.
Like what?
Like there not being enough women for men to marry, the emperor syndrome, which caused men to feel overly important, and a ton of problems in the workforce because of the lack of gender diversity.
Were there any problems not related to gender?
Of course. Rural families didn't have enough children to help farm. There were just not enough workers to power the economy. There were thousands of unidentified illegal children, and the number of old people outnumbered the young, leading to a host of unwanted struggles.
So the people must have hated this, right?
Actually, no. According to an article from the New York Times, 76% of the Chinese population supported the one-child policy.
Wait, what? Why?
You're in luck. I'm about to explain why.
Can you start with cultural changes, especially the gender ones, because shouldn't this policy have worsened sexism?
Yeah, originally while I was researching, I thought that women would suffer because of the one-child policy, which of course is true, and I'll get to it in a little bit. But it turns out that the vast majority of the population aren't baby killers, even during difficult circumstances.
What a surprise.
Right? So, since the majority of families didn't abandon their daughters, they instead invested in them. Since there was no brother to pile all their resources into, families began educating their girls, allowing them to travel abroad, and expecting them to bring the same amount of honor into their families.
So the options were forced equality or death?
Pretty much. Xia Xing, a female Chinese student who was born during the height of the Chinese one-child policy, reflects in the interview by the Thomas Reuters Foundation on her experience as the only child.
They only have one child, so they can spend all their attention and resources on me, so I can be better educated comparing if I have several brothers.
So this clip shows that on top of getting equal resources, women began getting more important jobs because there were A, less people, and B, they turned out to be just as smart.
Again, what a surprise. But what about the women that either weren't wealthy or were born illegally?
Yeah, so you've gotten at the double standard of the one-child policy. So many times, if parents accidentally got impregnated and couldn't pay the fee for a second child, or if they hid their first female child, those girls weren't given an ID.
So you're saying that there is an entire population of undocumented children? What happened to them?
So these people, most of which are girls due to the fact that Chinese people preferred having boys, lived a life without technically existing. This means no school, no work, no travel, basically no life. So here's an interview with one of those people. 19-year-old Li Shu, like Xia Xiang, was born during the height of the one-child policy. But her parents couldn't afford to pay the fee for having a second child. She reflects on her experience in an interview with CBS News.
I feel it's quite unfair. It hurts not to have a normal life like other kids my age. I cry, but I don't do it in front of my parents, she says. Without the hukou, Li Xue cannot get a job, travel within China, let alone abroad. For her, getting married or even receiving treatment at the hospital is impossible.
Because of the one-child policy, people like Li Xue live extremely difficult lives, which causes poverty and death that China is able to just ignore.
So how many people are living undocumented like Li Xu?
People don't really know. It could be anywhere from 1,000 to 1,000,000 people. But either way, China wanted to solve overpopulation by punishing people who are rich and having too many children. But instead, the poor, usually female children, were the ones punished because they were simply could not pay for birth control, abortions, or even an ID for their child.
So if I understand this right, the policy helped advance the rights of rich urban girls, but not the poor women.
Yep, that is usually, unfortunately, how it goes. And although it is very important to remember that many, many poor, innocent young girls suffered, we also need to understand that for the privileged girls, their rights within education and employment improved significantly.
So I get that urban women benefited and poor female children suffered, but what about the economy of the country as a whole? Shouldn't it have tanked from lack of workers?
Surprisingly, the lack of workers didn't hugely affect the Chinese economy, but rather the one-child policy allowed for individual economic growth, which eventually led to China's economic success.
Okay, but how did individual Chinese families succeed economically, apart from the fact that the government gave them benefits from having one kid?
Right, so apart from the government aid, having one child boosted families' savings rates and financial gain. According to the World Economic Forum, from 2002 to 2009, the average saving rates of a family with one child was 21.3%, compared to a family with twins, which was 12.8%.
How is it possible that families with one child have double the savings rate?
It can be explained by multiple reasons. Having one kid is a lot less work, so parents can work more and get promoted to higher paying jobs. Also, one kid is cheaper, because instead of buying, say, 3 new pairs of shoes, you just need to buy one. And that logic can be scaled to bigger things like school, expensive procedures, and travel.
Right, but how does this individual financial gain affect the entire country of 1,000,000,000 people?
Yeah, that's a valid question. So children with no siblings were 40% more likely to pursue higher education. This by nature led to higher paying jobs and eventually a higher percentage of Chinese people in high-ranking, profitable positions across the world.
What about the poor people?
So for once, the poor families, at least the ones who didn't have multiple undocumented children, did benefit. Having less people created more job openings so that the families that were poor in the 1970s actually had a chance to succeed in the workforce at the start of the new century.
Do you think the economic gains will be sustained over the next 20 to 40 years?
Honestly, I hope so, but the only problem is that the current workforce...
The ones who have siblings but weren't allowed to have kids.
Right. As they get older, there will be a lot less workers and too many old people, most likely leading to strained financial situations for my generation. This is called the 4-2-1 problem.
Oh, but for now the economy is good.
Yeah, for now the economy is good and rising. In many ways, because only children have so many more resources, Chinese individuals began running the world's businesses, making China into an economic superpower. Although this might change in the future, for now it is good to acknowledge how impressive China's economy is.
Huh, I suppose that makes a lot of sense. But did the policy affect anything else? Maybe the health or environment?
That's an amazing question, and puts us on to our third positive effect. The environmental impact of the one-child policy is often overlooked, but extremely important.
Wait, but I thought China's environment and pollution levels were nothing short of awful.
True, but think about how bad the pollution would have been with an additional 40 million people that were estimated to have been born without the one-child policy. According to Vice News, quote, government officials estimate that the one-child policy reduced annual emissions by as much as 1.8 billion tons of carbon dioxide and other gases, end quote.
Wow. So just getting rid of a bunch of people helps the environment that much? How? Explain.
Okay. So if you think about it on the small scale, an average Chinese person emits about 10 to 15 tons of carbon in their life. So if you multiply that by the 40 million estimated extra people that weren't born because of the one-child policy.
That's definitely a large number.
Yeah, and the carbon and other greenhouse gases that weren't produced not only saved the environment, but also aided the Chinese people's health. Not breathing in that extra 1.8 billion tons of carbon dioxide saved millions from lung diseases, health problems, and even death.
Wait, hold on. I thought there were a bunch of undocumented children. Are they being counted in this estimate?
I don't believe so. The undocumented people that we discussed before are not really being accounted for the majority of estimates, allowing the Chinese government to portray a much better image of the positive effects. That being said, those undocumented children don't travel, go to school, or work, which does eliminate a lot of their carbon footprint.
I see. Did the government even think about this when creating the policy originally?
I don't believe that they were thinking of environmental impacts, but either way, having less people created a significantly healthier environment for Chinese citizens, and most likely slowed the process of climate change.
Okay, wow. So clearly the one-child policy wasn't all bad. It was an attempt, a pretty poorly thought out attempt, but an attempt to solve overpopulation and had some nice side effects, but it wasn't entirely rainbows and sunshine either, was it?
Yeah, rainbows and sunshine aren't the words I would use to describe the one-child policy. The gender problems, undocumented girls, the 421 problem just scratch the surface of the unintentional consequences of the one-child policy.
Right, because if it did work perfectly, then every country would be doing this.
Exactly, but we do need to give the policy some credit for the good stuff it did. In only 20 years, it advanced women's rights almost 40 years. It also really helped the environment, and for the moment, the economy as well. And the question really becomes, even though the negative effects outnumber the positive ones, would the positive effects have happened this quickly, or even at all, without the policy?
It's difficult to see if the good outweighs the bad.
Right. The one-child policy did leave a pile of ethical dilemmas surrounding it. But through this episode, I hope I shed some light on why the government and the majority of the people supported it. It helped with the middle class, the economy, the women, and the environment. Most importantly, the policy changed the enormous, very stubborn country forever, something that is extremely difficult to do.
Changed for the good or the bad?
True. It's important to understand both sides because by doing so, one can understand why and how the world, specifically China, works just a little bit better. That's it for today. I hope you guys enjoyed, and please come back for the next episode of Remix.